This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. So last Sunday, if you'll remember, I spoke at length about how as Christians, we do have joy, we do have hope in Christ, not only for a month and then return to the cycle of anguish and despair until death. On the contrary, we now have the promise of eternal life and the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we look forward to much more after our departure from this world. We remember the birth of Christ because his light will shine in this world and for eternity. Now we have the promise, although not yet the fulfillment. The Son of God was born in a manger in Bethlehem to die on the cross, but not only to die, also to resurrect on the third day, but not only to rise from the dead, but also to ascend into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Almighty God the Father. There is more too, because he will return in glory to judge both the living and the dead. I just gave away the store. You now have Lutheran doctrine and preaching under your belts. And it's interesting because in America, one of the interesting things about, it's important to know that who we are matters as Christians. It's important to know this. Early Americans, you know, when the denominational structures, even though we'll say, well, this person's a this and this person's a that, it doesn't really matter if your denomination, if you're something and you don't know what it means. For example, there's a particular stripe of Christianity that started the big tent revivals, and their belief in converting people was not literally what I just read, but to scare them. That's where the term scare the hell out of you comes from. It's not a pithy saying. They believed if they scared them bad enough with the coming judgment, then they would turn away from their evil deeds. Now, if I were to ask any of the kids who I've been here and taught in confirmation or any religion class, I would ask them, can you do that by your own strength and reason? Good, I'm getting a lot of this. Good, you guys are so off the hook right now. Because what it is I cannot be scared enough. If my plane is going down, I cannot be scared enough to know how to be a pilot. And there was a big move, and the reason I mention this is we have this Malachi reading that was very popular. And as when you get to our reading of Malachi in the Old Testament, the prophet speaks of the coming Messiah in a way that was very popular in the big tent revivals to talk about as a day of judgment, the day of reckoning. There's no G in that. It's reckoning. All right? But not only to rise from the dead. Now, the entire New Testament period is considered to be a day of judgment, but not like you want to think, because the final judgment is not whether I found myself to be brave enough to fly the plane that I have no idea how to fly, but the fulfillment of the judgment was Christ's mission, and it began in a manger, not in my heart. And we too may live in a short time of grace, right? Until the Lord comes. Just so you know, that time of grace is now. We have the ability every Sunday to come to church and hear and receive the grace of God. There's nobody out there with tanks or anything trying to stop you. There's nobody armed soldiers out there. Like, and I promise you, the first century church and many countries to this day do. We live in a time of grace. I want you to appreciate that. I want you to appreciate that being here is not only a requirement, because it is, if you look at your confirmation vows, but it is also a blessing. It is also a good thing. It is a time of grace for you. And so we look at this and say, you know, there's a time when we're preparing ourselves. We are those godly preppers that the Holy Spirit is doing the prep work. And in the verses of Luke 21 before our text, I want to just pretext a little bit here. Our Lord prophesied the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. As a sign of the judgment of the whole world. He is going to say that there will not be just one temple, but the church will go out. There will be apostles who will train pastors, who will go out together, and they will be called shepherds now. They're not going to be called apostles anymore. They're going to be called shepherds, and they're going to gather sheep together, and they're going to preach, teach, and administer the sacrament to those people. And so, the unbelieving world, though, will be confused and they will be frightened by these signs. They'll say that we'll scare them. We'll be signs in the sun, signs in the moon, and signs in the stars, also on land and sea. This is kind of a repeat of verse 11, which clearly speaks of awesome earthquakes, famines, pestilence, and great signs from heaven. These events, such as eclipses and comets in the sky, or storms, earthquakes, tsunamis on earth, will all be visible to all believers or non-believers, but much more the return of Christ in the clouds. Tsunamis, earthquakes, all of these things, it sounds like they're reflecting the broken world that we live in. And every time they rage up, it's a reminder that we're awaiting for the coming Christ. The witness of the first coming, though, as the child in Bethlehem, were the shepherds of the, they're called Oviedes, and the magicians who saw a star among the million of stars. But when Christ comes in glory, everyone will pay attention. Whether you are a believer or not, when he says it is the name by which every knee will bow, it means you and me, of course. And the pithy smart people on YouTube who are trying to tell you that Jesus isn't real, their knees will bow too. All this will come true. Every one of your, every one of the promises for you, you're saying, yes, these will be fulfilled. And for the unbelievers, it will be a nightmare. For the unbelievers, he will come as judge to punish them. But for believers, he will come as their savior. We must pray that this day will come soon, because the return of Christ brings us full freedom from all evil in this world. But we do not need to know precisely the date or the time. Remember, because we're preppers. When a tree puts down its leaves, as the gospel is saying, all ordinary people who are familiar with trees know immediately, without further demonstration, that summer must be near. In the same way, when the believers, seeing fulfilled these signs, will precede the coming of Christ to the judgment, can be sure that Christ will come. You see, there's nothing I can preach the hell out of you on. Okay, in holy baptism, those fires are quenched. By the proclamation of the gospel, that is what I can give to you. By the reading of the words that you heard from your elder and myself today, those are the things I can give you. From the Lord's Supper that he has promised, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, I can't scare that out of you. I can't do that, but I won't lie to you. I will tell you that Malachi is not wrong. The coming judgment of Christ, when he returns in glory, as our creeds say, to judge the living and the dead, is true. It's why we care about the ministry. It's why we care about the gospel. It's why we're overly obsessed with doctrine, say some. It's because we believe that our friends who we love, who don't trust this, we believe they should. We believe that this is good for them. And that's why we share it. That's why we spend time in fellowship with God in His house, because He instructs us. And truly I say to you, when He says, this generation will not pass until this happens. That's how we know that I can't preach the sermon to scare you into faith, because the judgment fell upon the Savior who was on the cross. And they lived to see it, but not much long after that. Because as soon as these people started sharing what they saw, the enemies started killing them immediately. We can't have people coming and saying God came and rescued His people, died on the cross at the Roman hands, at the calling of His own Jewish people as well, and then rose from the grave so that He would bring the kingdom of God to them. We can't have that, because then that affects the power of Caesar, who believes he's God. So as soon as these people witness the judgment of Jesus Christ, the Father placing all of His wrath on Christ, they started to tell people about it. So He says, truly I tell you. So what does this mean? The words translated in generation are used 9 times in the Gospel of Luke, and it always refers even to the unbelievers. Until Christ comes, many people will reject God's word, and their hatred and persecution of the church will continue. Every one of your friends at school or work or everything that thinks it's dumb, because not only are you a Christian, you are part of a Christian church that is very, very specific on what it believes. It's very, very old-fashioned, because it goes back to the time of Christ. It's very, very rigid, because we know that Christ is a tree. He's a pillar that does not bend or break. But it's not easy to stand firm in the Word and in the faith under the conditions described by Christ, is it? With such a lack of proper preparation, so often the arrival of the last day will prove a calamity and a surprise even for those who were saying, well, I'm a Christian, and the ones that you ask, what does that mean? I don't know. It's like me saying, I'm a pilot. Okay. Why? Because my dad was? No planes for you, buddy. It is not a matter of individual merit, remember, but of being declared worthy by the blood and the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Remember how I talked about baptism? Why the most helpless event in the world is baptism? Because in the waters of this, it is Jesus Christ doing something for you. He doesn't prescribe how big of a cup I should use, or what shape my hand should be, or how full the bowl should be, or if we had a baptistry, if I needed a 47.927 gallons in there for it to be that. He's not asking for my help. Water and God's word. It's a helpless feeling, thank God. Because then I never have to ask, did I slap the baby hard enough on the head when I did the baptism? They're like, don't slap my baby. No, what it is saying, this is a miraculous work, and it looks so simple because it's got the most common elements in the universe in it. So what is preparation then? And see for yourselves, he says, that your hearts are not burdened with gluttony, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day suddenly comes upon you, for like a snare it will come upon all who dwell on the face of all the watch. Therefore, praying at all times that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things, to come and stand before the Son of Man. A prepared person is a praying person. I'll say it again. A prepared person is a praying person. Not just when you're driving in the snow. Not just when you're having a meal. But in all things, a prepared person is talking to God who gave them faith enough to believe that He's there. The Lord urges us tireless vigilance at all times, with unceasing prayer to the Lord and in the means of grace. Remember, you don't say, I was baptized. You say, I am baptized. I am that person now. I am that person who Isaiah says that I've been called by name and I am His and He walked me through the waters. The one who Peter says, baptism now saves you. The one who St. Paul says, baptism is you dying with Christ and rising with Him. That is a prepper move. The Lord's Supper, why did He give it to us? Just so we have one more weird ritual? God, I hope not. No, I won't say I hope not because that's stupid. I'm a pastor. No, He didn't. The answer is take and eat. This is my body given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Why would He want our sins forgiven so badly? Because we will stand before Him with joyous confidence. And I'm always saying this. That is what church is. Being in the presence of God, receiving things you can get nowhere else. Being in the presence of God, being forgiven for everything you messed up on this week, and even today in case you squeaked in a couple mistakes before you got here. That's church. That is the life we live. This is Jesus Christ saying, you know what? Listen to this. They're going to read some stuff to you. Hear this. Take and eat. Be that person. It's a wonderful blessing. As He's coming again, that is how we are prepared in ways that Christ prepares us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.